On January 20, 2021, just 2 weeks after an attack on the U.S. Capitol building, poet Amanda Gorman stood on those steps reciting her poem, The Hill We Climb. The young African-American woman has written in the last few weeks about how she almost declined to be the inaugural poet because she and others were terrified. Her mother practiced shielding her body from bullets. Her family members cheered when she said she wasn't going to take part in the inauguration. On a long night, Gorman realized, quote, "Maybe being brave enough doesn't mean lessening my fear, but listening to it." She said yes. She recited her powerful poem. She inspired thousands. She said that day, "The truth is, hope isn't a promise we give. It's a promise we live. Tell it like this, and we, like our words, will not rest." This morning, I put Gorman's eloquent words and actions alongside those of three others: the prophet Jeremiah, Menno Simons, the man for whom our particular brand of Christianity is named, and a Mennonite named Michael M.J. Sharp, about whom I recently authored a book. Let's start with Jeremiah. He was the son of a priest and understood the particulars of the faith of the people of Israel in 640 BC. He was likely a young man when the words of the Lord came to him, and Jeremiah responded, "I do not know how to speak. I'm too young." Jeremiah felt unprepared and named his youth. It's a fascinating excuse and not one that Yahweh accepted. The God we serve is accustomed to utilizing flawed and unwilling servants to carry out the work of love and justice. Yahweh commanded Jeremiah to go, to not be afraid, because the Lord would be with him. God promised to rescue Jeremiah and put words in his mouth. Yahweh reached out a hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth. As a writer, I can tell you there are moments when it feels as if the words come from outside you and that they flow through you. It's a glorious, holy feeling and one that's fleeting. More often, the terrifying blank page stares at you, waiting. Yahweh told Jeremiah he was appointed over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to overthrow and destroy, to build and to plant. That's a huge set of tasks. I'm unsure about the instructions to uproot and tear down, to overthrow and destroy. I see plenty of people doing that as I look around this world. I don't usually celebrate it, and sometimes I'm even sickened by it. I'm much more drawn to those who are focused on the last two, to build and to plant. As Mennonites, that's much more in tune with our Mennonite Disaster Service trips and farmer heritage. Jeremiah overcame his reluctance and went on to become quite a fine prophet. According to a brilliant living and speaking concordance named Paul Keim, Jeremiah lived at a time when danger was on the horizon. There were powerful empires surrounding the children of Israel. But Jeremiah's message became one of focusing on the way of Yahweh rather than the values of the empires around them. Imperial politics and its values would not save them. We have Jeremiah's words pointing to the danger on the horizon and how we can try to change things. The message didn't really make the religious leaders of the day very happy. Jeremiah was actually persecuted for speaking boldly. He was rescued several times from dungeons or pits, or from nearly being killed. Though he's called the prophet of doom, Jeremiah was hopeful. He bought a plot of land outside of Jerusalem, hoping that after the dust settled and the armed groups stopped raging, he'd be able to live there. He never got to. Fast forward to the early 1500s. A Catholic priest in the Netherlands started reading the Bible for himself. He started to question that the bread and wine he was serving were actually turning into the flesh and blood of Christ. And he started voicing those questions from the pulpit. Menno Simons became known for his preaching as he compared Catholic doctrine to the Bible. He was challenging the church from within. A group of Anabaptists and other reformers in Europe were challenging the church and state, who were linked together in power. And some of those folks were losing their lives for it. When 300 Anabaptists were executed in 1535, Menno reached a crisis point and joined the group of believers who were willing to put their lives on the line over adult baptism. Menno kept preaching, but now advocated pacifism and separation from worldly power. Menno walked with a limp, using a crutch, yet he traveled widely. For 25 years after he renounced Catholicism, he was a bold preacher and reformer in the Netherlands and Germany. He died a peaceful death at the age of 66. The 461st anniversary of his death is tomorrow, on Monday. His boldness left a mark, as evidenced by what we call ourselves. Fast forward to where we are now. The children of Menno, so to speak, have read the martyr's mirror that holds the stories of those who died for their faith in Menno's era. We've heard the stories about the founding of our denomination, coming here from Russia or Europe, and those who established Mennonite Central Committee. And we know this phrase and recite it often: blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Yahweh assured Jeremiah that he would be protected. As children of God, we believe that too, though perhaps it's easy to do so because we live a comfortable middle-class life in North America. I want to believe that on the day MJ Sharp died, in the moments before he was hit with a shotgun blast, he knew that he was a beloved child of God. In the phone video footage from that day, MJ didn't show fear, but instead questioned his captors about their intentions. He looked calm. He had been in intense situations before. There was the time he had gotten out of a vehicle after coming across armed bandits, robbing people on a bus in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and he shooed off the gun-toting robbers. There was the time he helped a soldier escape from the military police in Germany and go AWOL rather than return to the front in the Middle East and take up arms against others. There had been plenty of moments around a poker table where the stakes were high, or the times that MJ was nearly caught carrying out a prank, but those weren't life or death. MJ's obituary states that he died as he lived, fully engaged. After graduating from Bethany Christian High School in 2001 here in Goshen, where his family lived on Maryland Avenue, almost within view of my house, MJ went to Eastern Mennonite University. He was known for epic pranks and asking tough questions, but also for his ability to be fully present with someone. He was charming, smart, and funny. After college, he went to Baumenthal, Germany, to work with Military Counseling Network. He walked alongside soldiers who wanted to become conscientious objectors. MJ was following the call to uproot by helping soldiers leave the American military. On one of his speaking trips back to the U.S., MJ came to Assembly Mennonite with a soldier named Rob Weiss, who lived with the Meyer family for a time and eventually went to military prison for going AWOL. Rob still lives here locally and helped care for Al Meyer leading up to his death. After Germany, MJ ended up in a new position with Mennonite Central Committee in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. He thrived in the role, helping oversee food distribution and giving people literal tools to make their lives better in a place rife with conflict and violence. MJ taught and lived peacemaking. He encountered men who had helped enact the Rwandan genocide and years later longed for power and the good old days. With others in a Congolese Council of Churches program, MJ urged these rebel leaders to let their people go, so to speak. He and others urged the groups to let soldiers return to Rwanda and leave the jungle with their families. In 2014, MJ told an NPR reporter, "You can always listen. You can always listen to people who want a chance to tell you about how they see the world." As MJ and others that he worked with earned the trust of those in the armed groups, the soldiers were allowed to go home. In all, more than 1,600 combatants and 23,000 civilians returned home between 2008 and 2015 because of the program. MJ was a peace worker, a peacemaker, and eventually an investigator for the UN Group of Experts in the DRC. In March 2017, he was investigating child soldiers and mass graves in the central part of the country with Zaida Catalan, a Swedish woman who was also on the Group of Experts. They were prepared, and they were working to assure that they would be safe as they did this investigation. Yet they were lied to about their safety and led to their deaths on a day in March 2017. MJ likely wouldn't want to be called a prophet, but his life can speak to us, can teach us. Unlike Jeremiah, MJ was not reluctant to engage, even as a child. In junior high, a friend from church told MJ how she had suddenly been excluded and was being teased by her circle of friends. MJ found a way to approach one of the girls in that circle and confront her about their behavior. He asked why they were doing it. He didn't accuse. He asked questions and listened. The girl realized her error and apologized to her friend. And decades later, the two are still close. MJ chose to follow the call of Jesus to love others, to be a peacemaker in this world. He chose to listen. He didn't believe he was too young. As a UN investigator, MJ had some power in the realm of nations and kingdoms that Jeremiah references. MJ was engaged with people who want to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow. MJ was also masterful at building and planting, and the seeds of his peacemaking that he planted in the DRC continue to take root. Menno Simons once wrote that true evangelical faith doesn't lie dormant. It clothes the naked, feeds the hungry, consoles the afflicted. It binds up that which is wounded, heals that which is diseased, and saves that which is sound. That is holy work. That is the call of following Christ. Sometimes that work is easy, and we're eager to do that work. And sometimes it's so hard. And though we want to do it, we offer excuses. All of these people, Amanda Gorman, the Prophet Jeremiah, Menno Simons, MJ Sharp, show us that God is there listening with us to our fears. God is listening with us to our fears and has promised to be with us. God has promised to give us words. Being a peacemaker means finding the boldness to speak and overcome our reluctance. It means something, too, that may be a far greater challenge, learning to listen. Listening to God, to the voice of the Spirit within us, and even to those who appear only to be tearing down and destroying. This is our calling as Anabaptists. This is our work in this world as true children of God.